Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Tawas areas. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day, and I hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the Scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning in worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m., also at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., and then again Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook. You are welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721, or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. In our study of the Gospel of Matthew, we have consistently seen that God does things differently than we humans do. One of the reasons why God is God and we are not. God sets the standard for morality higher than we tend to. God reacts to sin differently than we do. And we are in the middle of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount in our study. And the message from God is still the same. God does things differently. And this is important because as Jesus delivers his sermon, we will see that he references the law of Moses, which the Jews would have maintained that they were keeping. This is important. We're doing what God has told us to do. But see, the problem is for the Jews in keeping the law of Moses, they were doing the least that they could do. While God, Jesus, calls upon us to do the most that we can do. You'll see this as we read through this section of the Sermon on the Mount. This is a phenomenal difference, and it is something that is important for us to understand. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, starting in verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Oh, truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery,' but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Well, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Oh, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair a white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You've heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic. Let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, do you see the difference here? Many people, when studying this section, misunderstand Jesus' point, and it is easy to do so if you read the text in small sections. But when you read a larger selection, as I just did, you can see the focus. These teachings of Jesus, they start with the standard of teaching of the day, their day, the human standard. Think of the human standard as this. How little do I need to do? How little to fulfill God's commands? How little to be godly? How little to be righteous? See, this is their way. This is our way today, our way of thinking. How little does God require of me? But see, Jesus, he raises the standard. It isn't how little. Don't make the mistake. Nor is it how much. As we study these things, what should occur to us is this question. Not how little or how much does God require from me? The question is this. How do I treat my fellow man? My fellow human being. Each of these subjects which Jesus deals with are all built around this same question. How do I treat my fellow human being? Sadly, our history is replete with selfishness and oppression of fellow humans made in the image of God. Well, this isn't God's plan for us at all. This isn't the godly directive that God has given to us. Dog-eat-dog world, take advantage of it, get it while you can. This is the world's way of doing things. That is not what God teaches us. And thus, as Jesus finishes this section of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, many people believe that Jesus is saying, be sinless as the Father is sinless, but that's not the point of these verses. Being perfect deals with how we treat one another. It's about completeness. And completeness is only going to come about when we deal with one another. Do we care for other people, or do we only care for ourselves? Are we looking out for numero uno, or are we looking out for everybody who lives on this planet of ours? Do we love one another? This is what Jesus is getting at in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is why we are the salt. This is why we are the light. Because we start to care for others. Now, the problem with loving one another as a command, it's easy to say, but it's hard to implement. What does it mean to love one another? This is why Jesus has to instruct us in it in so many different ways. Love one another, but what does that look like? Indeed, in today's society, people say, well, love is love. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. And so here, as we read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us to love one another. What does that look like? Well, think back to the first section that I read about murder. Now, many societies, including the Jews, they teach that thinking about murdering someone is an acceptable behavior, just as long as you don't actually take steps to do it. And then Jesus comes along and he says, not only does he say no to such behavior, don't plan to murder somebody, don't do that. But he also lets us know that if we're holding on to such anger that we'd want to hurt somebody, our brother, our fellow human, we're actually not allowed into God's presence. We need to be reconciled to one another before we can come before the Father. And so it's not, well, I would kill him if I could and then turn around and say, hey, God, how's it going? It's a great day, isn't it? No, Jesus teaches us. Go be reconciled, and then you can come before the Father. We need to rebuild our relationships with one another before we can come before God. Don't hold grudges. Our world tells us something different, and many Christian groups will tell us something different, but that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, first be reconciled, then come to the Father. Likewise, as we continue forward, as we look at our sexual relations, God has to straighten us out in this as well, because they deal with our fellow man. Why does God care about who's in my bedroom and who's not? Because there's another person in the bedroom with us, another human being. This isn't about God ruining our so-called fun. This isn't about God being oppressive or being a pervert or God hating us. This is about God helping us to see what loving one another really means. When we break our promises to one another to be faithful, we're not being loving. And the Jews taught that as long as you don't take action, you aren't hurting anyone. You can look, just no touching. I even heard a prominent Jewish leader in our society today defending this position a couple of months ago, that pornography is acceptable to him as long as you don't touch. He was being interviewed by several Christian leaders who tried to point out that the problem with such a doctrine is that it doesn't deal with the love towards one another. But see, they didn't quote the words of Jesus, which is disappointing as always. Why does Jesus tell us that the looking is off limits? And the answer is because when we start looking, it changes how we treat our spouse. Unfair competition, unfair comparisons, and when those start to happen, we no longer regard our spouse as we should, and we stop loving them. We stop loving one another. And we don't even have to progress beyond looking. As soon as we are looking for something else, our relationship with our spouse changes. Now, some people will make the charge that if you start looking, eventually you'll start touching, meaning you're going to start committing actual adultery. And it's true that that does happen sometimes. But Jesus, the problem is Jesus points out, you don't even need to get that far. Because the reality is, as soon as you start looking, you're no longer loving your spouse. And that's Jesus's point. We're supposed to be loving one another. He's calling us to be something more than the low standard that humans have for one another. Now, many people today, they attempt to short-circuit this problem by not marrying at all. And the problem with this is that by not being married, you don't create a loving relationship. You're actually destroying a loving relationship. Oh, but I love my live-in lover, people exclaim. Now, in some form, this may be true, but that isn't real love. Because real love wants the best for the other person, that person you're living with. And if you're not married to them, you're taking advantage of them. And that's not love. There's no permanency with live-in relationships. Isn't that true? This is one of the reasons why people don't get married. Because they're afraid that their relationship won't last. They have seen the abysmal record of marriage in our society today, and they figure, why bother? All that's going to happen is we'll get divorced. And they would be mostly right. Quitting marriage doesn't mean that marriages don't work. It means that people have forgotten how to love one another. They have forgotten what marriage means. Loving one another means that we don't quit the relationship, even when things are tough. When there's poor times, when there's bad health times, when there's mental health issues, when there's hard, loving times, those things are going to happen. That's part of life. Now, not getting married doesn't stop those things from happening. It just makes it easier to quit. And this isn't loving. This isn't caring for your fellow human being. And this is also why it's important to keep your word. This is why Moses' command from God, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, isn't good enough. It isn't that God is wrong or that Moses was wrong. It's that people changed the intent, the meaning of this law for Moses. Before the law of Moses and without the law of Moses, people would engage in revenge actions, even killing whole groups of people, declaring that this was just because they hurt somebody else. Now, obviously, this isn't God's intent for how we treat one another. And so God gave us the law of Moses, an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. The thing is this, the law of Moses was about making sure that the Jews didn't take more than what was taken from them. No revenge allowed under the law of Moses. But the law of Moses was twisted by the Jews. It was no longer about caring for others, but instead about making sure that revenge killing doesn't happen. And that was it. That was all they could see. They couldn't see beyond that. There's no consideration for the fellow man. There's no consideration for the human being made in God's. Now, I know. They took advantage of me. They hurt me. They damaged me. They maybe even have killed somebody I loved. But those people who have engaged in those terrible activities, those atrocities, they're still made in the image of God, and they will answer. God will hold them accountable. It is God who judges. It's not myself. And so as soon as we start looking at them as our fellow man, even as terrible as they are sometimes, as soon as we start treating them and considering them as made in the image of God, now we start to love them as God loves us. Even those people who have taken advantage of us, even those people who have abused us, even those people who are terrible, horrible, no good, bad human beings, they're still made in the image of God. Think of them this way. They are still somebody's son, somebody's daughter. Somebody bore them. Somebody raised them up. And they maybe have gotten lost and twisted through life, forgotten their way. And they may have forgotten that you're a human being as well. And they may have forgotten that you are made in the image of God. And I understand that. But see, Jesus isn't calling us to point the finger at somebody else. Jesus is calling us to raise our own standards, how we treat other people. I can't change what other people do, but I can change myself. This is the real struggle. Someone's hurt us. We want to hurt them back. And Jesus says, Scott, turn the other cheek. What? People break their word all the time. They lie. They flat out will lie to you. And Jesus says, keep your word. Why? Why is this? Because when I'm keeping my word, when I'm turning my cheek, what am I doing? I'm loving them. How do we treat our fellow man? And again, we want justice, and justice will be served. We want swift justice. We want, when people abuse us, we want them to pay the price right away. But see, the problem is this. We don't enact justice properly all the time. We need to leave that to God. And so, this is what Jesus means as he finishes chapter 5 in the Gospel of Matthew. Being perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. It's not about sinlessness. However, as we practice loving one another, which is the perfection, as we practice loving one another, one thing is very true. We actually will sin less when we start loving one another. Jesus speaks about how we humans, we're willing to do certain things with and for one another, which is true. As long as we think that there's some advantage to ourselves, we're willing to work with one another. We are willing to engage in an exchange of goods and services, but you don't need God to do that. Mankind has been doing that for years. But with Christians, Jesus calls us to be more than that. We're called to be better. As Christians, it's no longer about what you can do for me or what I can get from you. Instead, we love one another. And as we love one another, it is about what does our fellow human being need? And can I fulfill that need? We consider others, regardless of what they can do for us, we consider them and we look at them and we say, this is a person made in the image of God and I need to love this person, regardless of what they can't do for us. It's a tough standard, but this is what Jesus calls us to do and to be. Remember, God does things differently. And the rest of the world is not going to behave like this. Remember, the rest of the world is, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Take advantage of whoever you can. Get it while you can. Get it while the getting's good. And Jesus comes along and he says, in essence, love one another. This is what love looks like. Be light. Be salt. Be different, Christians. Rise above the clamor of the world. Start caring for these people, even if they're terrible, horrible, sinful people. They're made in the image of God. This is perfection. This is what Jesus calls us to do and to be. See, the Jews, they managed to twist the law of Moses. And today, these days, there's a lot of Christians. They twist the Sermon on the Mount. They twist the law of Christ. They twist the teachings of Jesus. They don't understand about caring for others. They think that God is about rules and laws and regulations and commands. Those laws which Christ gives us, they're so that we will care for one another. So we'll learn to love one another. Not for myself, for other people. These are about giving us life and life more abundantly. We start walking with Christ and we start behaving this way, and suddenly my life becomes free. Suddenly I have joy. Suddenly I have peace as I follow Jesus. May we be encouraged and challenged by the teachings of Jesus to do more and to be more than what our fellow man would have us to be. Raise the bar. Raise the standard. May we be like God. May we walk in the light as he is in the light. May we learn to truly love one another, not just in word, but also in deed. May we take these teachings of Jesus to heart and follow him instead of the world. Let me encourage you today, Christians, choose Jesus, choose life. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. Thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, or help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just 1 mile north of F41 on Cedar Lake Road in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me, 989-305-2721 is my phone number. Feel free to send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Hold us, your mercy keep.